It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody should hear from Jason Wilde every day of the year about the Green Bay Packers. We do our part. And we're getting close to the number one for the Packers. I'm assuming it's going to be Jordan Love. It has to be Jordan Love. Unless it's the president of the Packers, Ed Policy. I don't know if he's eligible. I don't think so. Jason, is Policy eligible for the number one spot?
No. Thanks for reading. Most important players.
Okay.
Not most important people, not most important figures. I think I can make a pretty good case for Josh Jacobs.
I don't think you can.
I think I can. I don't know if I'd win the argument, but I definitely could make the
argument.
He
might be number two.
There's only two guys left.
And who is
the quarterback? It's the quarterback and the running back.
Yeah.
I mean,
you might do running back just to be different, but I mean, it's not.
Much like you, who is often offended when people suggest you are doing things for effects, for attention.
Yes, I am offended by that, yes.
I am too. I'm not doing it for effect. If I believe something,
right,
then I believe it, and then I'm going to go that direction.
Yeah, I just want to apologize. I made that up. I just wondered to see how irritated you would be if I said that.
Jason, no, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
I want to be on record. Jason Wilde's never done that in his life. He's never done that once in his life. Everything he's done.
I do things for effect with you. I mean,
no, I'm talking about your writing, not this fiddly diddly stuff that we do. As far as your writing, you have never asked a question or had any interest in an article based on for the effect versus what you believed one way or another. And you should be as bothered by it as I am. I don't think people say it as often to you as I do because I'll go out on more limbs than you do.
I don't even have a tree. I've got like a flagpole, largely.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just not my thing. Although today, you know, Tasha and I got after a little bit today. Then I was just talking to Jim, Matt, and Molly in Madison, and Molly was saying how much she enjoyed me getting riled up. And I, of course, don't enjoy that. And I don't have a lot of limb experience or strong opinion experience. But one of our fans, I think it was Steve in Greenfield, who had texted in and said, you know, look, the Bucks took a big swing, but, you know, at least they swing for the fences with Dame, and the Packers never do.
That's crap. Just utter crap.
And I don't think it's true.
No, it's
but
crap.
I do think,
it's worse than not true.
Okay. Tell me more.
Well, let's look at what they did with Jacobs. Let's look what they did with McKinney. Look what they did win the title. Look what they did to win the title. Charles Woodson. I mean, they don't do it often. But their philosophy is you win based on developing of your own players because of what all the reasons are. Now, if someone wants to say that philosophy doesn't work anymore because something about the league has changed, I would be open to that. I don't know that that's the case, but
so I think the breakdown. I tried to explain this, Tosh, because you're agreeing with Tosh, which should give you pause. But my view of swinging for the fences, you know, the Bucks just swung for the fences, right, by spreading out stretching out
the
right?
biggest and, fence and, in the history of the league.
Yeah, like the Green Monster of fences.
Yes, correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but again, the swinging for the fences, I factor in the reason for it, right? And the urgency or the desperation.
Few players in basketball compared to football.
Sure,
you can
right.
do it differently.
But here's how I got right. Tosh a little riled up. Like, I think when I think of swinging for the fences, I think of it as a synonym for going all in, which we all have different opinions for what that means. But for me anyway, it's you think you're close and you do something that is a bold maneuver, right? Trading for Drew Holiday was definitely swinging for the fences, right? They gave up a bunch of capital, and it paid off, and they got a title out of it. I don't think signing Jacobs, even though I said to Goody that they weren't just home run signings, but grand slam signings, I don't think they were necessarily swinging for the fence. You know, when I think of a baseball player swinging for the fences, you know, he's, you know, from his heels, you know, trying to get the launch angle and trying to send the ball over the fence. Where some home runs you hit, you're not, you just take a nice swing like you normally would take. And so when I look at Josh Jacobs and when I look at Xavier McKinney, they are brilliant, outstanding signings. What they aren't is we're one player away. We're going to swing for the fences here and hope that that player is the guy that we need to go win that title. So I gave the example of if they were to trade for Trey Hendrickson, then I would say, hell, holy crap, they're swinging for the fences. I just think that signing two guys at positions where you missed in the draft, right? They missed on A.J. Dillon, so they needed Josh Jacobs to be the next running back after Aaron Jones, and they missed on Darnell Savage, so they needed a new starting safety, and they hit on both of them in a huge way. But, like, is signing Aaron Banks swinging for the fences? No, right? They signed him to be a starter. They gave him a ton of money. So I think I just have a different definition of that, and I wouldn't say that the Packers never do it. What bothered me about our discussion today was that some of our fans determined that I was saying that they don't do it enough. No, I believe in Goody's approach. I am not a Goody hater for his approach on roster building. What my issue is that, you know, that old saying about everything in moderation, including moderation, like the fact that they have exactly two guys who've celebrated their 30th birthday, and one is the kicker and the other is the long snapper, I think that is too far flung in that no 30-year-old dudes on our roster direction. Like, there's a continuum. And they're too far to, we don't want any old guys.
Well, no, but is it that or is it the players just aren't good enough? The person I would look at now is Philadelphia, their GM, to see what they've
Howie
done.
Yep.
Right, but my answer would be he's drafted better players who are more deserving of that third contract than what the Packers have.
Yeah, I think philosophically, I think they think that virtually everyone is replaceable.
Okay.
Like the example
you're
that
right.
I like,
Devontae Adams is the one you use, and it's a perfect example. That,
and they're not always right. Like, you know, in the previous eras with Ted, with Ron, like they would have signed John Runyon to a second contract, and then they would have let him walk after that. Like Ted let Marco Rivera and Mike Wall walk, like. But those types of guys, they don't break the bank. They're really solid. They're proven commodities. They have veteran experience and leadership. So you don't have, like, I'm sorry. I just don't. I know they love the idea of competition in that wide receiver room, but I still think having that one lead dog changes the dynamic and changes it for the better, especially if the lead dog is established enough, but also has enough humility to be able to say, look, I am the alpha, but I don't want every single ball thrown to me. I don't need that. I need you guys to take advantage when I'm drawing double coverage to catch the ball. And Devontae Adams was great. He was just great about that. And I just don't think that this approach to this point has worked. Now, what's crazy
well, but who
is,
other than Devontae Adams? In the
Jordy
last
Nelson
10
was
years.
That. Like, here's the thing. Like, the biggest, you know, people, the other thing people give me a lot of grief about is, you know, Jordy Nelson
was
still
not at the same point in his career as Devontae Adams was.
No, but when, but I'll say he was one of the best wide receivers in football in 2014, right? And then 2015, he blows out his ACL. 2016, he comes back. He's comeback player of the year. And in the meantime, Devontae Adams is growing into a clear-cut number one, just like Greg Jennings overtook Donald Driver, just like Jordy Nelson overtook Greg Jennings. And what was great about Jordy was that, and this is why Goody and I will disagree on this till the day we both aren't doing this anymore or get hit by a bus, and that is he thought, keeping Jordy around would cause the Packers quarterback at the time, one Aaron Charles Rodgers, to continue to favor Jordy instead of allowing the torch to be passed to Devontae Adams, which I know Aaron Rodgers was offended by that because, first of all, Aaron Rodgers knew that Devontae Adams was good before anybody else did. And if you want evidence that everyone, including Jordy and including Aaron, knew that the torch had been passed, whether they wanted it to be or not, and they were all fine with it, was that game in Dallas before Rodgers breaks his collarbone in Minnesota in 17. Devontae Adams is the target on a low red zone pass into the end zone, and it's incomplete. And Devontae Adams comes back to the huddle. It's one of my all-time favorite Rodgers stories and Adams stories because they both tell it brilliantly. Devontae Adams comes back to the huddle and says, throw a better damn ball, and that's a touchdown. Let's run it again. And Rodgers looks at him and goes, okay. Throws a better ball, throws the touchdown pass. They win the game and beat the Cowboys in Dallas. Like, that's that kind of stuff. And right now they've created an environment that they believe is healthier, that all these guys are essentially on the same plane, and they're all fighting to be the guy that gets paid and gets designated as the number one receiver. And this is the year where it's now or never, because you got two that are going to be done with their contracts and two more that'll be going into the final years of their contracts in 26. And so the fact that no one has separated themselves, even with the way Jaden Reed has led them in receptions and yards the last 2 years, I don't think that that's the best way to do it. And look, Goody can say, to hell with you, Jason, I don't care what you think. And that's what he would say. But the results have not said this is the best way to do it. Now, if they go out and make a Super Bowl this year and Jordan Love plays great and all these guys that we've been talking about for weeks that are in pivotal seasons come out and play to the Homer rule of don't judge a young player when they play poorly, judge them when they play well, and they all suddenly click and play a lot more like the guy they are when they play well, then they got a really good football team. And we're going to have a really cool season to chronicle, and they're going to be playing in an NFC championship game. If not enough of those guys elevate their games sufficiently, then they're going to be another 10-7 team that makes the playoffs and either gets beat on the road in the first round or gets beat on the road in the second round.
But is that because of not drafting well enough versus the option of having older players?
Well, I mean, look, right, it's never one thing. So, you know, I don't know if, like, I think Jaden Reed's a good player. I think he's a really good player. I think Romeo Doubs is, you know, I always like to use guys that I've covered as kind of parallels, right? And because there are similarities, right? Like, I think when I look at Jaden Reed, I do see Randall Cobb. When I look at Matthew Golden, I kind of see Greg Jennings. When I look at Romeo Doubs, I see James Jones. And by the way, all three of those guys that I mentioned got second contracts from the Packers, right? Mm-hmm. So, but that's not going to be the case here. Like, Dontavian Wicks, I see like Devontae Adams in 14 and 15. You know, dropped a bunch of balls last year. Like, but the dude gets open. The dude is explosive off the line of scrimmage. He's got great feet. Like, I'm not saying he's going to become Devontae Adams, but I wouldn't give up on him yet. But the problem is no one has really shown enough where you can say definitively who they are. Like, that's the other thing. Like, whether it's the quarterback or anybody else, I look at this team and I say, who's a finished product? Who do you know for certain is whatever he is? Because I don't think Love is. I certainly hope. Like, we may have to admit that Rashawn Gary is who he is.
Clark.
Kenny Clark is. Great example. He's going to be 30. Elton Jenkins is who he is. But of all those position players, like, I want to say Tucker Kraft, I feel pretty confident this is who he is, right? Which is pretty darn
Zach
good.
Zach Tom.
Another good one. So there's some, but, you know, is Luke Musgrave who he's going to be? Which would be
we hope not.
Perpetually injured, right? That's, to me, that's the thing. And you would like, in my opinion, to go into this season feeling like you have more guys that you know who they are and you know what they're going to do. I don't think they're that.
I agree with you, but it comes down to me, like, just how good is he? How good are the players that he's got? What's been done that's special? The quarterback? There's no Aaron Rodgers. There's no Charles Woodson. There's no who is it? And at some point, somebody's got to step up, or you're just kind of pretty good, right? And that to me is on. It's always more on the drafting. Maybe if you realize you have, then they're just fearful that you spend all that money. It limits what you can do elsewhere, right?
Right. But what they're not afraid of, or I guess I would say sufficiently afraid of, because I firmly believe that Goody sees just about everybody as replaceable. And if that's how he feels, what they probably aren't sufficiently afraid of.
Oh, I forgot Clay Matthews. Sorry, Clay.
Yeah, Clay Matthews. And look, B.J. Raji was a terrific draft pick, too. Like, the guy was a really, really good player. Thankless job. Oddly called it a career way earlier than any of us expected. And unlike Aaron Rodgers, who has said that you're never going to hear from him again, has anyone heard from B.J. Raji again? I haven't. But when I look at this team and where it's at, I feel like if you think everyone is replaceable, then what you should be afraid of, or at least consider, is I don't want to let go of a guy, kind of like the Giants let go of Xavier McKinney, mm-hmm. right? How on earth did they let him out of the building? I am sure that there were people in Buffalo who said, how in God's name did the Green Bay Packers allow Micah Hyde out of their building? I am sure that there were teams that when they chose to re-sign Cletus Hunt instead of Vonnie Holiday said, how did they let Vonnie Holiday out of the building and kept that guy? Right? So yeah. That has to be part of your calculus. I'm not saying you make decisions out of fear, but you at least have to consider that if your thought process in free agency, which is clearly Goody's, is to sign guys that are on the rise, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Billy Turner was a little bit of a different deal, but Adrian Amos was in the last, he spent his first 4 years in Chicago. It's guys that have finished their rookie contracts. They're not going out and signing guys to third contracts after they've had two with another team. But you have to think about it. If that's who you target, are you sure that you don't have guys on your team that other teams are looking going, well, boy, they're idiots if they let this guy out of the building? And I don't know if Goody thinks that way or not, frankly.
Right, and to me, he's going to live or die on he acts like he believes on how good this team is. And if this team isn't that good, then I think you significantly look at how good are they going to be, because this is all based on his judgment of how good these players are. And that's why I have Ed Policy as number one on the list, even though it's not a list of players, because we don't know how he views things. Like, he could look at Goody and say, we can do better. Like some would do, we can do better at a GM. We can, right? I mean, that's the most important decision he's going to make, Policy's going to make. His belief in Goody, and I would say Goody, which I don't know if I don't know Policy, but I assume the guy with the biggest heat this year has got to be Goody. That's how I would feel if I was him, because I don't know Policy unless I know him well and know that he believes in me and thinks I'm doing a good job. Then I wouldn't be worried, but couldn't Policy say he's good, but he's not good enough? That's not good enough for the Packers.
Yeah, I would say that I don't think either one of their seats are hot, obviously, but they're critical seasons for both of them. But I would, because
Policy, that's how you base that?
Well, based on the conversations we had with Policy, I don't know how you don't view it that way.
All right.
And so, but what I would say is I think both of them are in the same boat. Like, I really do. I think they're both in a position where, if he wants to keep, I think what he wants, and he did not say this, so this is just purely my opinion. I think what he wants is for them to be on the same plane of their contracts are running the same. And if this, let's say this ends up being an abject failure, I don't think he's going to fire one or the other. I think he would say, and I don't think he's going to fire either one. Like, I think they're going to go 10-7. They're going to make the playoffs. They're not going to manage to go on a Super Bowl run. They're each going to get like 1 year added to their contracts. And then the seats will be hot next year. That's the gut feeling I have.
I want to join that club. There's no way either of them is gone. They'd have to go.
Yeah, they'd have to go 4-13.
And I don't.
And there'd have to
even,
be infighting and
right,
all the time.
And that's not going to happen based on the
not
two
if
people
they're,
involved.
Not, unless they experience the kind of injuries that San Francisco and Detroit dealt with, because I don't think they're as deep as those teams were.
Yeah, and I think if that's the case, policy would give them another year.
I think so, too. No doubt about it. I totally agree. Yep, totally agree.
All right.
I love it when we end agreeing.
Hold yeah, on. And have you done a story? I may have missed it. Have you done a story on Ed with an interview with Ed Policy?
No. I have not. We had our. I'm waiting for the day of the to post it. The day of the meeting of the shareholders meeting.
Oh yes, I have four tickets to the shareholders meeting. Right. I wonder how I get rid of those. Do you think anybody would want to go?
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if you can just hand those out if you're a shareholder. I think I don't know if you can give them away. I don't know how that works.
Can you check on that? I don't want to get.
I would hate for you to not be able to get your dividend check.
Well, no, it's a guy in the Tosa Genius Club who's just being nice because he's going to be out of town. He gave me the four that he has for his four seats, and I said, hey, sure, I'm sure we know somebody that would want to go. They can represent the Tosa Genius Club, but I don't want to get him in trouble. Can you check on that?
Yeah, I would just, unlike those people at the Coldplay concert that are having an affair, I think if you or whoever is going with those tickets just doesn't like broadcast the fact that they're not really the ticket holders, okay. I don't think it'll be an issue.
All right, good. I'll take that. I will use that. Jason
Wilde
said it'd be okay. Thanks.
All right, guys.
One last question.
I
said the one thing I want to see is the Brewers win the World Series above everything else. I don't think other people necessarily have the same concern. Is there one thing that you would like to see more than anything else? It can't be family.
Okay,
I said, I don't think you'd have one because then it would mean
well, thank goodness you said that because I would have totally answered
of course.
That way. I'll, again, in the theme of us agreeing, I'll join that club. I would love, like, you know how much I love the 1982 Brewers.
Yep.
So the idea of this team winning a World Series, and again, I would even just take making a World Series.
Again,
I know you. You and I, different people.
Yep.
But I'm in your club. That would of all the things that could happen, Badgers national championship, all that other stuff. No, Brewers, and it's not even frankly close.
No more another questions. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
1-800-990-3776. Carpool's talk and text line. Your I want this to happen first. Next.